Hello and welcome to Global Sanctuary for Elephants podcast, Global Rumblings. Global Sanctuary for Elephants, or GSE for short, is a non-profit organization with a mission to create vast safe spaces for captive elephants where they are able to heal physically and emotionally, often from very traumatic pasts. I'm your host, Nadia Mari, and I'll be taking you to the lush jungle of the Mato Grosso region in central Brazil, home of GSE's initial project, Elephant Sanctuary Brazil. Currently home to six female Asian elephants, lovingly referred to as the girls. Hello, everybody. Welcome back, and thank you for joining us again for a new episode of Global Rumblings. We will be learning more about Lady and her rescue from the zoo. So let's head over to Brazil to say hi to Kat and Scott. Hi, you two. How are you?
Sleepy. It's 2 o'clock. It's time for another cup of coffee, but okay, otherwise.
Aside from sleepy, life is good today. How are you doing?
I'm fine. So last week we left off, I think it was day two or day three, where you unfortunately were slightly electrocuted. I don't know, yes, if one can be slightly electrocuted. But anyway, you are still here, which is fantastic. Not too many injuries, I hope. So take us then from day two or day three. How did Lady's rescue continue?
Well, let's see. After that, I was a little bit more paranoid to open and close the gates because even though I knew I was shocked by electric fence and Lady was actually fine, there was still that, I guess, the initial consideration or memory of feeling like it was her hitting the gate. I was a little bit more wary of moving forward, but she did great. She continued just to be so, so strong and cooperative and easy and allowed us to close the gate behind her several times. Staying in the container for hours at a time with the door open. She was just stable and easy and good. It's also a time that we started to understand a little bit more of her parameters and that she didn't want us to encourage her and tell her she was good. She said, give me my food and leave me alone. And if we got too social or if we got too, not even, you know, close to her, but a little bit more too forward, even with our emotions, our celebrations, our, you know, reinforcement again, she would just slam her head against the fence, you know, the gate in the front of the transport container. So it was a learning curve for us, one to step in and one to step back again, check in on her periodically, but she just would rather be left alone. And she wasn't doing anything new or exciting, but she seemed to really find comfort in that transport container. Again, as Kat said before, something new, something interesting, different smell, different location. We opened up the front all the way for her just to have her different view also, just to switch it up. We start walking around the containers, making different noise. And she, for the most part, she was really, really sound, really solid with all of that. So the rest of that day was pretty much uneventful, just success for Lady.
Personality wise, had you met an elephant like Lady before? Of course, they are all individuals, but you said that she did prefer to be left alone. Was that new for you?
Not new to elephants. New first time we had an elephant like that in Brazil, but they all have different likes and different, you know, dislikes. And part of it is understanding who they're more comfortable with. You know, there's multiple people on the team. Sometimes they seem more comfortable with Trish, for example, or sometimes more comfortable with me. So there's all those different nuances that you try to understand to perceive and to let them know that you understand to start giving that trust. You know, the trust isn't about building a friendship. It's about letting them know that you see what they like or what they don't like. So if somebody said, hey, I'm more comfortable with Trish, then Trish takes the front position on that. She's the one that is more readily involved. And I take a little bit of a backseat. If she's saying, is no, like Lady, hey guys, this is too much, you know, back off, give me my space. Once you listen and step back, then it just builds a little bit of trust of like, hey, they're actually noticing.
One of the things I thought was cute about, you know, the live feeds we're doing during this time and showing her in the crate and showing her everything that's going on there. You know, people were like, oh, she loves Scott. And we had to laugh. It is, again, that thing of people want that instant relationship. And she just wasn't in love with anyone by any stretch of the imagination. It just wasn't who she was. It wasn't emotionally where she was at or anything she was ready for. for the most part, it was more who is she going to tolerate and who is she not going to tolerate. I mean, there definitely wasn't, even with her caregivers, there was just no love there. So when people were like, she loves him, it's like, no, not really.
When people listening to the next Elephant Rescue, when they say she's doing this because she loves you, remember this episode. It's not because they love us. It's because they are intrigued with what's going on. And we're trying to build trust, but that doesn't mean they trust us. Just trying to build trust and trying to create some sort of platform that we can use for the next few days as the journey gets harder. You know, when we start going down the road and it's hot or they're tired and we're tired, just to find some sort of foundation that is based on mutual respect and understanding that we can communicate to each other and we both listen.
So how long did it take for you then to get Lady into the crate and close up? When did you feel confident enough?
Yeah, I think we had set 3 days there with her. It was either 3 or 4 days. I honestly don't recall. I think we were planning to leave on that Monday. On the third day, which was Sunday, there was a lot of, I think somebody had done a come say goodbye to Lady, you know, post, whether it be the news or somebody. And there were a lot of people coming by and wanted to ask questions and yelling across the exhibit and say, we love you, Lady. Good luck. Goodbye. Some people were sad. We always made it a point to make ourselves available to talk to some of the different people at different times. When there were a lot of people around, one of our team members would go and just talk and answer some questions. And some people had misunderstandings of what was going on. And everyone is always receptive when you explain the scenario. And we explain what sanctuary is and why it's important for Lady. Everyone's always very, very receptive. And sometimes the kids will say that they're really sad that they can't see her anymore, but they're happy she'll have family. On this particular day, it's also a day that I had a encounter meeting with the veterinarian again, and one of the people from the team from the zoo, I think she was in media relations, and we were sitting down talking, and they said, look, we're really upset that the lawsuit included this term negligence. And they said, we were never negligent. And I said, well, let's look at the word negligence. And what does it mean? And this is Portuguese-English communication. And my Portuguese isn't perfect in some of these scenarios. But we use the example, you've known that she has had foot issues for years. You know, she's been with you for now since 2014 through 2013. And, you know, for years you've known this. When have you done foot care for her on a regular basis? Well, we started doing training, okay? You started doing training years after a known foot problem. You have neglected her for years. You are negligent. And they would be screaming silent. And I said, you know, these are the simple things that we talk about. You've known that her facility isn't safe. She has broken out of her facility, creating a very dangerous situation.
Although she didn't go anywhere, all she did was break out of her facility and she went like 10 yards away to eat grass. I mean, again, it's that thing like Ramba, who when she escapes her thing, all she did was go to a tree that was, you know, 30 yards away. Lady did the same thing. I mean, she just wants grass.
Yeah. But you're negligent in your responsibility to provide a proper, safe environment for her. You can't protect her at night. You're negligent in your ability to provide a proper, safe environment for her. All of these things are negligence, you know? And so it's easy to be blind saying, hey, but we love her and we feed her. You know, we don't torture her. But just because you don't hit her doesn't mean you are doing right by her. That ended up being all okay. And the day we finally left, whether it be the fourth day, third day, I think it was the fourth day we finally left. A lot of people were around again, and it was incredibly positive. There were a lot of tears from the caregivers, a lot of hugs and embraces from the caregivers. Everyone was really supportive by that point. The vast majority. I think this was on Monday at that. And on Monday, some of the long-term, full-time zoo staff were back. And they had a weekend team and a weekday team. And they were not on board with this. But I also had not had as much time with them as I had with the other crew. And they were a little bit reluctant. But all the ones that we had spent a weekend with were much more on board. And again, it ended up being really a positive send-off in the end.
One of the things we see, because when we talk to people, they get angry about them being in zoos, which I get, but oftentimes people want to blame the caregivers. you know, they don't take care of their elephants, blah, 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 blah. And the reality is, in most of these scenarios, the caregivers try everything they can to take care of these elephants. And it goes past elephants, it's other animals. You know, we've been at zoos where the caregivers have met with management and begged for different things and wanted changes. And like Palooza, who is given, you know, hay that you could smell the fungus coming off of it before you even entered the barn. And it was because the zoo had a partnership with somebody they were friends with, you know, that that's who they would buy the hay from. You know, and this sort of stuff goes on all the time. And the reality is, most zookeepers are stretched thin. You know, they give them 14 different species to take care of. It's not like they do just elephants, or they even do just elephants and one other species. So not only do they not have the time to take care of the beings that they're supposed to take care of, but they also don't have the time to build up the knowledge about the individuals they're working with, because they don't spend any time with them. So you have caregivers who would love to do more, like we're saying with Lady, that, you know, you talk about, you actually have a bath that would be perfect for doing foot soaks for her. It's been there the whole time. It wasn't anything we built or brought with us. They just don't even know enough to think that that's a possibility.
It was a feeding tray, but she would put her feet in it anyway, and it had a drain. Perfect. So it was perfect. Let's use this for foot soaks. You could have been doing that all along.
So, I mean, I know it's easy to get angry at this situation. And when you get angry at the situation, including other people in it, and also, don't get me wrong, we have met elephant keepers who are just garbage. But it is one of those things where generally the caregivers are really good people who are trying their best in bad situations to take care of who they're in charge of.
Yeah, they're really limited. They're limited on time. They're also, almost all of them have second or even third jobs, because they don't have, they can't focus on, they can't focus on this full time. You know, they all want to do more, and they are very, as Kat said, very, very incredibly restricted in what their capacity is.
So sorry, Lady Leaving.
Lady Leaving. I don't remember anything unique about that departure. I think it was all relatively easy. I don't even remember getting out of the zoo and onto the main road. I think all of it was really easy. I remember getting through somewhere, and there was some point in the city that there were a huge crowd of people waiting to give Lady a send-off, which was really quite wonderful to see.
Uneventful is never a bad thing when it comes to sanctuary, elephants, rescue, all of it. Uneventful is nice.
So true to form, once it ends up being just, you know, us and the elephant, you know, and a lot of the people dynamic ends up being set to the side, and there's no electric fence anymore. Everything becomes really easy. Everything was, you know, she's traveled really well. Of course, this is a circus elephant. She's traveled for years.
Yeah.
You know, so that makes it a little bit easier.
And it hadn't even been that long since you traveled in circus. I mean, you're talking about a few years, but in the grand scheme of things, not a lot of time.
Yeah.
Was there a police escort again? She was within Brazil, so was there a police escort?
There was.
We've always had them now. Yeah. After the first time and realizing how beneficial it was in so many of the scenarios, we've always had them. And we have a lot of the same team that repeats or people they're close to that come, because everybody from the police loves the elephant rescues. It's a lot of work. It's not a lot of sleep. Yeah. They totally pitch in at rest stops, you know, with getting water and cleaning things up and, you know, getting rid of elephant poop. And they're great. And they love it. When they get here, they're so, so happy. We actually, did we talk about her already? We had one of the federal police on somebody's rescue. She actually had a kidney infection that started mid-rescue, and she was so sick. I mean, she was in a bunch of pain. She was vomiting. She was really, really sick, and she would not bow out. She's like, nope, I am seeing this elephant walk out of the container and get to sanctuary. We gave her medicine when she came here because she was just, I mean, you could tell how painful she was, but they really, really appreciate being able to be part of doing this for the elephants. And one of the nice things is that they do realize they are playing a big part in it, that it's not just, you know, drive us to the sanctuary, that it is part of the bigger picture.
So this trip ended up being, we had a different truck. I remember Hannah's trip. We talked about the old truck that was really quite beautiful, but very, very slow. this was not that kind of truck. There were two drivers, the main owner who was older and a younger man who was with them. And we had two very different versions of truck drivers when we were with them. The older fellow was phenomenal, and the younger man was scary. He was so fast. And actually, we didn't have police escort through a big section of that on this one. We did leave in the city, but we did it all through that middle zone where there's nobody around for hours and hours and days and days. Seems like days and days. I think it's 2 days. But it's a big stretch in the middle of the country that is, there's nothing around. It seems very, very barren. And I don't remember police escort because that's the stretch that when we were with Hannah, we had to keep switching and waiting for the teams because it's not a normal route that transport carriers are taking. So they don't have the same police infrastructure. We had checkpoints with them, but they weren't following us the whole way until we got, Brasilia. I believe. But anyway, long story short on this was that the one driver was great. The other driver was so fast. And I cannot tell you how many times we had to talk to him and slow down. I remember putting somebody in front of the truck to slow him down and he passed them. And so he could go faster again. Oh, and we're behind him and we're watching the whole container, everything tilt to the side as he's going around curves. It's like, oh my God. God, this is going to go from a really easy, gentle, quiet trip to a complete disaster. And we had to shut him down. So we were working on getting him off the trip because he was really dangerous. We had to talk to the main owner multiple times. And when he was driving, the main owner was sleeping. So he wasn't aware of how bad this was. And then the young guy had an attitude towards us because we were telling him to slow down and he didn't want that. So it was pretty bad relations in part of that trip. Lady throughout all of it was exceptional. Same as normal, trying to find fresh grass whenever we could, different branches. And she did great throughout the whole thing. I don't remember her ever having an issue of being off her food, off her water. She was remarkably stable throughout all of it. We had tried, as Kat mentioned, when we were at the zoo, putting straps underneath her because of her feet or foot infections that maybe we have to put straps underneath her. But she did not want that when we were at the zoo and we didn't need to do it. But if we had to, we could have made it happen. She loved it.
I mean, as a toy. You know, we talked about having the recess straps in the crate just in case they get so tired that they need some sort of support and help standing up. And because her feet were such a train wreck, we thought that maybe somewhere along, you know, she may start to lose strength in her front legs. And of course, she can lean back and the crate's designed for that as well. But just trying to figure out what options we had if things went in certain directions. But the strap was a toy and she really, really enjoyed it. But we didn't have to use it because she was, as we learned later on, she is one of the strongest elephants we've ever known.
And true elephant transports, the elephants are always rock stars. There's the people issues and sometimes equipment issues, as we had with the Rhombus truck breaking down, losing a pin. And in this case, we were fortunately in a city. The truck lost all power. We barely pulled off the road in the middle of a downtown small town. I should remember the name of the city because we've actually stayed there on multiple trips, not too terribly far from the sanctuary. I think it was the day before arrival, maybe in a day and a half. I think it was the day before arrival. So it was between Brasilia and the sanctuary. Truck broke down and it was the end of the day, trying to find a mechanic that has the equipment that is needed to find a test. I mean, to do a test, and we finally get in touch with somebody but find out that he's at church and he will not be available for about an hour. One of our team members said that's not a good enough answer. We had an elephant and she found somebody who found somebody who found somebody who got his personal cell phone number and called him at church.
This is what happens when elephants are involved. People get really determined.
And he ended up coming and joining us. It took a little while. And he did some testing and said, look, we can get the piece, but you know, this relay that is needed, it's not going to come for until the end of the next day. So we immediately started putting plans in place to get a crane and get a new truck. The mechanic also knew somebody or whatever the relation was that had a crane, had a truck, and we were able to get people there the next morning, unload her from the initial crate, from the initial truck, put her on the second truck, blocking off the road to make it happen with power lines in the way. And I remember having to push the truck down the hill to get the power lines out of the way so the crane could actually function properly. And the way we did it was, because there wasn't enough room on this narrow little road, was I lifted up the crate and pulled the other truck forward so the new truck could go underneath her. So there was some time that she was suspended above the road. Not, you know, millions of meters above the road, but, you know, spending above the road while we made this. And I remember sleeping by the, and since we didn't have police escort, it was really interesting as well, because I didn't have police cars all around to block where we were. And so we slept downtown right by a bank, and where a lot of people walk up down the streets all night. So I did not get a lot of sleep that night and ended up talking to a lot of strange people walking up and down the road because they were all curious of what this was and who was in here. Some people tried to come up and cause problems, but as soon as they saw that somebody was there monitoring, they would walk away. But that was another interesting night on the road with elephants while the rest of the team was in a hotel. Yeah, a hiccup, but wasn't tremendous. Lady did great, got back on the road with two really nice drivers who were very respectful for the rest of the trip. And actually, we've continued to use them. That same trucking company we've used multiple times now, the second company, when we had Mara come in, because the truck that she came from Argentina with, we had to switch to a smaller vehicle. So with that, we got back on the road, and this truck driver that we've used since then multiple times, we got back on the road and ended up having a great rest of the trip. The truck driver that helped us out and the crane company we've used multiple times since then. Sometimes when we arrive with elephants like Mara from Argentina, the first part of the trip has to be on a larger truck, but that can't get all the way into the sanctuary, so we have to use a smaller vehicle. And this guy has helped us out multiple times, always exceptional, always wonderful. So it ended up being a wonderful relationship that was developed. We have a very excited parakeet next to us.
Sorry.
So with that, we ended up, the rest of the trip was awesome and easy, and Lady was a rock star. The team was exceptional. Made it to the sanctuary, and if I recall, she actually offloaded very fast.
Yeah, she was easy all around. She had decided that she would be easy for all of that, and it wasn't until that she got settled into the sanctuary that she would begin testing you.
Yes. And that's where we had to work long and hard on our relationships with her, my relationship with her. She was open to Kat right away, but like what Kat said before, is her relationship with men was always a little bit different. Her trust of men was a little bit different. She had to give us a chance, and we had to give her a chance to evolve for us to prove ourselves to her. Yeah. Because if you look at almost everybody in her life, they were never really there for her. They never really protected her. And she had to learn that we are going to be there to protect her, and we are going to listen, and she can rely on us and trust us. But that definitely took some time.
Well, she has got a very fascinating personality, I find, when I followed her story. A, that she does prefer her own company, although over the last year she has moved on a bit. And also the fact that she has come with so many health issues, which is something that we will be talking about in episodes to come, especially, you've already mentioned it, her horrific feet. But hearing her story about her space at the zoo not being protected at night does at least maybe show why she is frightened, or was frightened of humans at the beginning, and especially, unfortunately, men. So, yes, we don't want to know what possibly happened, or, as you said, what she saw in the evenings when the zoo had closed.
Well, so I was going to say, putting all of that in context, you know, yes, the zoo, but then going back to the whole thing, being stolen from the wild, being put on circus for all those years. I mean, all of that just has that cumulative effect. And it's understandable. A lot of times people will say, oh, she's aggressive. And there's people that do say she's really aggressive.
But the reality is she's not super aggressive. If she was super aggressive, she'd be trying to grab people and pull them in and do other things. Her slamming her head was definitely a form of communication. It was a very quick back up. You're done. Get out of my space. Whatever it was. But when elephants really want to hurt you, that's not what they're going to do. You know, she's hitting a bar. She's hitting a fence. She's hitting an inanimate object. But she's not trying to do anything to you physically. No. You know, it's not like you're in that space with her, or your hands in the way, or, it was just a way that she had learned to communicate that was clearly effective for her, because it scared people at the zoo and got them to back off. And it probably scared people who came in at night to do whatever it was in her presence. So again, one of those behaviors that captivity created that worked for her. And she had to realize that she was now in a place where she didn't need to communicate like that anymore, that there were other more subtle ways to communicate, and that the people she was surrounded by now were actually listening. But for her, she had to trust in all of that before she really gave that up. It's a comfort blanket she's had for who knows how many decades.
And her type of communication is really nuanced. It's really subtle sometimes between yes, okay, and no, I'm not comfortable. And it definitely takes a...
I mean, sometimes it's super clear. You can see across the yard some days where she's super spunky and you're like, oh no, here comes lady. It's like, it's going to be one of these days.
And she's playful and silly and spunky, but not, again, not trying to be overtly aggressive and trying to hurt people, but she just has that crazy, spunky, wild side, which is such a celebration, actually.
Yes. It's generally the super positive stuff that you can see from a mile away when she is super light and super playful. And I mean, spunky, you're only like, oh no, when you have to do foot soaks and that sort of thing sometimes. Because it's just like anybody with high energy, when you ask them to quiet down and blah, 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 it doesn't always work the best.
Everybody gets a bath on those days.
Yes, it is the general reality of those days. Bath time for everyone.
Okay. But.
Yeah.
So we are running out of time and the connection wasn't that good. I think you said you've got a rainstorm coming, so maybe it's a good time to end today's podcast. So maybe next time we can catch up a little bit more. You said that she unloaded very fast, but your followers and supporters always like to have the story of whom did she meet first and what happened then. Yeah, what have you got planned for the rest of today? I'll let you go.
That depends on the rain. working on a new roof structure for wildlife. We have a checkup on elephants, feeding with elephants, but nothing too outside of the normal, regular normal stuff.
I don't actually even know what I'm doing this afternoon. I haven't gotten there yet. So,
cup of coffee and then on to phase two.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, have a great rest of your day and we'll catch up again for our next recording.
All right. Thanks again, Nadia. We appreciate you very much.
Bye.
Bye. As we wrap up this week's episode, a reminder that if you'd like to stay up to date with current events at the sanctuary, you can do so by following Global Sanctuary for Elephants on their various social media channels. You'll find all the details in the show notes. Thank you so much. And until we meet up in 2 weeks' time, take care.